Hare Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 34. Focus on the purport of Bhagavad Gita 1866. Now, in summarizing Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that Arjuna should give up all the processes that have been explained to him, should simply surrender to Krishna. Notes. There are two paths to Krishna consciousness given in the Bhagavad Gita, the path of gradual elevation by knowledge and the path of immediate unconditional surrender. In 1866, Sri Krishna declares the path of unconditional surrender is the best. For in this way one attains all perfection without separate effort. Quotation from Srila Prabhupada. First of all, one becomes Gyanavan. Then he surrenders to Vasudeva. Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. This is one process. Another process is you become a devotee of Vasudeva. Then Jnana, Vairagya, will automatically come. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.1.19. Although not having fully realized Krishna, persons who have even once surrendered completely unto his lotus feet, who have become attracted to his name, form, qualities, and pastimes, are completely freed of all sinful reactions. For they have thus accepted the true method of atonement. Even in dreams, such surrendered souls do not see Yamaraj or his order carriers, who are equipped with ropes to bind the sinful. So you have this path where you can take up. Means, okay. When we're dealing with these processes, then they're always connected. One level of it always moves into the next one very easily, naturally. So that means it can be applied, the process can be applied at any level. Right? And basically it'll look the same. This is where it gets confusing. But it's where the emphasis is on. Right? Does that make sense? So, then he's saying so you can take up this process of going karma yoga, jnana yoga, like this, and coming to bhakti. So that would be what he called the gradual path. So he's saying give that up and just surrender. You just take up the devotional process directly. Then by doing that, then knowledge and detachment will come. Because that's what you want to get. By doing karma, you get that foundational knowledge and detachment necessary to go further in the process of knowledge. Right? I mean, someone who takes up jnana yoga can't do it unless he's done well in karma yoga. Because where will the knowledge and detachment come from? That basic. It doesn't mean all knowledge, but that principle of being is situated. Right? So this path is very slow. It requires great piety, great training, good situations, like that. So what Krishna is recommending is just surrender. You just surrender to Krishna, you're attracted by his name, form, qualities, pastimes, some aspect of Krishna. So you just take up and start rendering service. By rendering that service, knowledge and detachment automatically come. So the benefits that one would get from the karma yoga and jnana yoga automatically are there. Does this make sense? Right. So, but now while one is doing that, then, okay, so that's major, as he says, two paths. Now within the devotional path, you know, the ones recommended by Krishna, you're taking it up. So now in the beginning, it'll be more, the elements of karma will be prominent. Then as one gets more knowledge and detachment from performing karma, jnana will become more prominent. Right? Because you have knowledge, you do this, you don't do this, and so many things. And then it'll eventually come to the point where the devotional aspect is the most prominent within the devotional aspect. Does that make sense? So, we're studying these paths, but they're not meant to be applied on their own. Being applied separately on their own, that's the slow path. Right? And this can take, depending on what it is, it can take many, many, many lifetimes. Right? Because it says, after many lifetimes, he surrenders. Right? So that means he's been practicing a long time. So that's that's the jnani. So that means how much was he a karmi before? So that would probably be even more lifetimes. Right? Same path. But the process is much more slow. Right? Does that make sense? And then there's the difficulty of whether you'll get proper association. Right? Well, the devotional path, then automatically you have association of devotees. So then one can take it up very quickly, very easily. Does this make sense? Yes.
In regards to the process of one surrender, never see, not that even in the dream, I'm wondering, at the end of my life, the Yudhisthira is showing because he has fully lied.
But the point is they are eternal associates of the Lord. No, but look at the rest of it. I mean, look at it in the context that it's the Lord's pastimes. Does that make sense? Right? So therefore, then these things go on. Because otherwise, would somebody who's an eternal associate of the Lord have to come here and be born and go through all the trouble they went through? You know what I'm saying? Because the story, they're devotees. It's understood they're devotees, but it's not like, you know, Narottam Das Thakur, he's just a kid in the village, but he's got some attraction for Krishna, and then when he's 12, he goes down to bathe in the Padma, and then you know, Padma Devi, you know, gives him that prema that Lord Chaitanya left there for him. So, you know, he starts dancing in ecstasy, his color changes, he's golden now, and all that. You know what I'm saying? You're not establishing the aspects of the acharya in the way of the sadhana and that spiritual development. Right? We don't discuss or see stages of the Pandavas making advancement and becoming more fixed. And, you know, like Raghunath Das, you know, he's there, he's in his home, his family is devotees, but, you know, they're interested in their, you know, karma, you know, which is quite good. You know, 2 million gold coins a year, that's what they get. That's not pieces of paper with little faces on them. This is gold coins, right? You know, so, you know, 10 gram gold coin. So that means 20 million grams of gold per year. Multiply that by 2,800. So that means in the billions, right? And that's solid gold. It's not going to go away. You know, it's not like you're a billionaire, you're number one today, and then the stock market changes, and now you're a pauper, right? It doesn't work like that. You have all those gold coins. Your only problem is where to put them all and how to move them around, right? Because they're very heavy, you know, like that. Does that make sense? So, they have that, and so, but then he leaves that. But then within that, then he takes up being more focused on Krishna. So instead of the sakam element, then it's the nishkam element, right? Then from there, then he leaves that and then goes to Puri, right? But now he's living, he's detached, but he's getting support from the family. And with that support, he's not using it just for, you know, basically for himself. He's not dressing fancy or living fancy, but he uses it to feed the Vaishnavas and do everything. And Lord Chaitanya comes and they're all happy. And then at some point he gives that up, right? And then he's begging. He's just standing at the Simhadwar gate, and whoever comes through, then he begs from them some prasad, right? Because all the pandas will all get some quota. They get a share in the offering. So then everybody gives him a little bit from there, right? So he's doing that. But then he feels that, you know, then he's thinking, oh, yesterday they gave, maybe today they'll give today, you know, all this kind of stuff. So then he gives that up, and just after Ananda Bazaar, whatever's in the market, what doesn't sell, then they put it out for the cows. Right? So it's still okay, but it's put out for the cows. So then the cows will eat it for, you know, a day or two, and then when it gets to the point where it gets, you know, where the cows won't eat it, then he comes and collects that rice. Okay, so we see that, because these are the acharyas, you know what I'm saying, or Nila, you know, he's a dacoit. That's what he does for a living, right? He, you know, people on the road, he catches them and takes all their gold and everything, right? And so then some girl comes along who he's extremely attracted to, and he wants to marry her. She says, I'll only marry a man who, you know, feeds 1,000 Vaishnavas a day for 1 year. So it's kind of like, no problem, you know. So he's serious, right? So 1,000 Vaishnavas a day for a year, that's a lot of money. So that means a lot of dacoit. So then he's going along and he's doing this, and because the Lord is so pleased with his sincerity in serving the Vaishnavas, right? In other words, by doing this, even though his motive for doing it is material, but the process itself is not, so he gets spiritual benefits, so he starts making advancement. So then one day, because it's, you know, difficult to get all that together, Lakshmi and Narayan decide they'll come, right, and be the, you know, victims of his dacoitry, right? And so how much gold do they wear? A lot more than anybody else, right? So then when he comes and comes to them, he tells them to take everything off. So then they get everything. But Lakshmi's got the toe rings on, right? Because the toe rings, the woman only wears toe rings if she's married, and they're put on by the husband, right? So then she doesn't take those off, right? You know, you might take off clean, but she doesn't remove them and not wear them. So he says, what about those? You know? So he says, you know, she says, you know, hey, you know, that's, you know, the husband put him there. He says, you want those, you have to take them off yourself. I'm not taking them off. So he goes to take, he can't get them off, right? So then he puts his teeth there. He'll pull them off his teeth. But by touching her lotus feet with his mouth like that, then he realized who they were. Then he took up devotional service. Right? Does that make sense? So you see that process, but do we ever hear of that with the Pandavas? No, because the Pandavas are just devoted. They're associates that are taking part in the Lord's pastime, direct pastime. So you don't look at that aspect with them. You know what I'm saying? In other words, they're setting example how we would go through life and how we would tolerate dealing with the material energy and whatever situation we're in, we'll try to remember Krishna. There's not a progression. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, in these kind of pastimes, if something like that happens, you know, Nanda Baba is swallowed by a big snake. You know, it's like, you know, why would that happen? But, you know, it's part of the pastime. Or he's stolen, you know, and taken to Varuna's place. Does that make sense? You know, not the normal thing that would happen to your common devotee. Right? You know, so like that, then... Does that make sense? So don't worry about it. But does it say he saw Yamaraj? So that it's still the quotation still good. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you could say, because he's the pure devotee, why would he see hell? But Prabhupada went to New York. Then? You know, Prabhupada went to London. Prabhupada said, how do you like London? Prabhupada said, London is hell.
I heard it different. I heard that a journalist asked him, what is hell? And he just said, this is hell.
This is hell, yeah. That's okay, yeah. He also didn't appreciate the Alps. In the winter. Maybe in the, you know, because you only see pictures of the Alps, you know, and the tourist things when, you know, the rolling hills and the daisies and the cows out grazing and, you know, like that. You don't see it when it's just solid snow, you know, like that. That's not the picture. You understand? So seeing hell, that's called the material world. Right, but you won't see Yamaraj. It means you won't be brought to the court of Yamaraj. Does that make sense? Because even in dreams, sometimes it comes. One devotee, he was a mafioso in Moscow, I think. You know, one of the guys who was a hitman. There was nothing that he wouldn't do or hadn't done, right? Like that. And so something happened, some rumble in the place, they were attacked and all that, and he got tossed out of some window somewhere. And so he broke every bone in his body, you know? And so he had a full body cast and all that. And so during that time, he was in the hospital and he was outside the body kind of floating around and watching, and then he was seeing that, he was not a devotee then, so only later when he told the devotees then he understood. But there were these really strange looking persons, you know, going around.
They were sitting by and waiting for him to leave the body.
Yeah, but he also noticed they were going around and collecting others and putting them in this this cart with a cage or something like that, and so then I think he had maybe met the devotees or something.
After he got out of the hospital, he met a devotee on the street distributing books.
Mm-hmm. But there was something before he met something. He had bought a book or something before, because he mentioned that. Because he says that then they came and collected him and took him to Yamaraj. And then Yamaraj is going to start going through reviewing his case. And then he said something about Bhagavad Gita. Like that, because you got one and somehow they remembered that, you know, just trying to crawl through anything that might be a little bit pious in his life, which it wasn't much, and that was the only thing that stood out, you know. And so then Yamaraj called, looking at the other guys, just so taken back, you know, because he doesn't belong there. So then he found himself back in the hospital like that. And so then, you know, he goes along and then later and this and that. But then he also, because everything was back to normal, he got distracted again and went back into his own life and all of that. And then I don't know if it was in a dream or he was just sitting there at the bar or something. Then he saw Yamaraj again, because he had told him, okay, I'll get it together. I'll go back. I'll read that book. I'll do everything, you know, like that, you know. But then he didn't. So then Yamaraj came and you know, in the same tone and same voice, asked him about, you know, so
how's it going?
Not so much how's it going, but like that. So then he immediately just ran off, went and looked in the closet, found the book and everything, and then that's when he became serious, you know.
There are two similar stories like that.
More? Or maybe I'm combining some different.
No. It's this is the one story, and there is another different story. When the guy got hit by some, you know, other, you know, group of, you know, whatever, mafiosis, and he got into the hospital, and while he was, you know, very close to the death, he still was in consciousness, and while being in the hospital, he saw the guy, you know, sitting on the chair nearby his bed.
They even used the chair. Sit there and use the chair. You're sitting regular, or had it turned around?
and he got very scared, because the guy was really scared. Over a few days, he disappeared, and he started to heal up, becoming better. And when he got out of the hospital, he was a bit confused what happened, you know, who was dead, and he was thinking about it. But he went back to, you know, his occupation, because it's not like you can leave it any time, yeah, whether you're dead or, you know, you're in business.
Okay.
So, and he met a devotee on the street. He was distributing books, as usually. It was in the 90s, I think, middle of 90s. And at that time, you know, it was very easy to recognize a, you know, mafiosi, mm-hmm, black leather coat, bald head, like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he saw the devotee and he got interested. He started to look, and devotee, it was many people around him. He would, you know, preach to them like this, give out the books. It was going really well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was standing there, and he stood there for a long time. And after everybody gone, you know, with the books, you know, it was just a devotee, and he didn't want to really deal with this, you know, black leather coat, bald guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy was just standing there. And the, I think the few books left, and one of those books was this specific
fifth canto.
Yeah, fifth. It was not Bhagavatam. There is specific
second
book. Yeah, Second Chance, with a picture of Yamadutas on the cover. How they pull out, you know, somebody of the body.
Okay.
So, and he was looking, and devotee finally is the only person left. He, you know, had to talk to him. He asked him, you know, what are you got interested, this and that. And the guy asked only one question. He pointed at that book, and he said, "How to get rid of them?" The devotee understood that, you know, this person had experience, so it's not just empty question. He was standing there for a long time, and then this specific question came. So he talked to the to this person for a long time, you know, and he said, you know, if you want to get deeper, buy the book, read the book, and here's my phone number. You can, you know, when you have questions, you can ask, you can talk.
Mm-hmm.
So he started to read the book, read the book very fast, and called the devotee, got his association, and the devotee started to preach to him, you know, what to do, you know, how to chant, how to follow mm-hmm. principles, and gradually all mm-hmm. was progressing, and, you know, he was feeling really bad, you know, he had to do all these activities anyway mm-hmm. because he wasn't in that business and mm-hmm. he couldn't just leave.
Mm-hmm.
He would end up dead next day, something mm-hmm. like that. So he was really confused, and he was constantly asking this devotee, you know, what to do, how can I leave? I want to practice more, be mm-hmm. serious, and there is no chance they allow me to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even I go other country or something, they will find out. So, and, but devotee, you know, the only thing he can tell him, you just pray to Krishna somehow to resolve the situation. Otherwise, you know, I don't know. But Krishna, he knows how to resolve everything. So you pray to him, he will arrange. And meanwhile, he was practicing all this, and his friends, you know, in the game, they would call him, you know, oh, a saint, this and that, because he would need meat, he wouldn't go to the prostitutes with them, you know, but he would. They were making fun of him a lot. And someday, one day, well, his gang, there was like a gathering of all gang in the restaurant. They rented the restaurant for the whole night. Hired girls, you know, everything was, the place was packed up, and it was their night. So, and he had to be there also, you know, and...
But it was just his gang or other gangs also?
No, his gang. Just here.
It means the full gang.
Yeah, full gang. It was big. You know, mm-hmm. It was significant. In the 90s, it was like whole, you know, country was ruled by gangs. It mm-hmm. was not, government was very weak.
Mm-hmm.
So they hired a restaurant, big restaurant, and he was just sitting in the corner. He was just sitting in the corner, you know, under the table, keeping his japa bead, you know, just like changing, you know, and he ate some salad or something, you know, friends were making fun of him, you know, this and that, like that, he was hanging around, and at that time, another gang decided to, you know, kill that gang.
Uh-huh.
It was a good time when all of them together.
Okay.
So then gang, that, you know, gang was really, you know, also really, you know, strong.
Okay.
So somehow they killed all the guards around the restaurant. And with the guns, with the machine guns and shotguns, they just, you know, how to say, not even opened the doors. It was one big hole. They just, you know, smashed the doors to the ground and went into the place. All at once, from all the doors, and they started to shoot into those people. And this, you know, later on, he became a devotee, and he said that I saw a different picture. I saw how they entered, the guys with the guns, and started to shoot. But you know, above each of them, there was, you know, this same Yamaduta guy, you know, pointing them to these people, and they would just shoot in the head, shoot in the heart like this, one shot, it's done. Mm-hmm. They were pointing mm-hmm. at people, and these guys were just shooting where they point.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he said, no one pointed at me. Yeah, and everybody, they were dead, just on the ground. And, you know, this other mafia group, they just ran away, jumped into the cars, going away. and he was just sitting there, you know, in the corner, and all of them were dead. He was just, you know, there like no one saw him, not even one bullet hit him. Mm. So he was sitting there, and then when the guys left, Yamadutas, they stayed, and they started to do their job, to pull out the souls, yeah. You know, the scream, cry, and this and that. He heard this everything, and he saw it himself. And amongst the Yamadutas, he said there was like, you know, the manager, you know, the main guy. He was a bigger, stronger. And his, you know, ex-friend, he was laying nearby by him. So this manager came to pull out his friend, and, you know, he pulled him out and was dragging nearby, you know, this person. And he just looked at him like that, you know, there will be your time, it will come for you too. He continued to drag, you know, that person away. And this devotee was like, you know, really. And right from there, he left that, you know, place, he went to the temple, and from then on, he is a devotee. Oh, okay. Fully practicing devotee. Yeah. So Krishna helped him to resolve the situation.
Yeah.
But some of these stories, there is a book of Chaitanya Chandra Charan Prabhu, how devotees came into Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. But he said, there are some stories that I wouldn't even publish because people would accuse me of lying. You know, this is one of those stories. He told it during one of his sermons.
Okay.
This devotee personally told him, you know, his story.
Okay. So that's seeing the young people. Okay, so you won't have to worry about that. Okay. Yes.
This surrender, it would seem that you already have knowledge and detachment if you just surrender.
No, the point is that bhakti is not based on knowledge or detachment. Hmm. So that's the thing, is karma and jnana are not a foundation or for bhakti. Bhakti is totally independent. So it's simply the desire to actually want to serve Krishna or know Krishna or like that. So that, just that turning to Krishna, that's all it requires. Right? If one wants to know God or, you know, what's going on, Krishna will put you in contact with the devotees, but you still have to take advantage of it. Because so many people come in contact with the devotees, but you have to take advantage. So by taking advantage of it, then that's the qualification. That's all. Then by rendering service, then naturally knowledge and detachment will come. So you'll get it. You know, it's whether it's done this way or that way. But it's done.
Yeah.
You know, so then one will naturally then be surrendering more. As that's coming, you're surrendering more. So there's still the process of, as you have that, you see the importance of it. It's not that the knowledge or detachment causes bhakti. It's that if you're detached more from Maya, then you can appreciate more Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But it's the appreciation of Krishna that's important, because some people are very detached from Maya but not interested in Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just a facility.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like you have a first class kitchen. That means if someone had good ability, he could do well with it. But if somebody doesn't know how to cook, it still doesn't matter. It's not that the kitchen makes the cook. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense. Yes?
When there is these two paths, direct and indirect paths, can we say that it is mainly one person is following one path because of his faith in the path? Importance of faith?
I mean, faith is there, it means, of course, but it's still come by the association of devotees.
Faith in the indirect path, there is no association with devotees.
Means, yeah, of course, but it's just like one worships demigods, and one has to have faith. You know, or one has to think that, yeah, if we have a revolution and then we change the government, then we'll be happy. There has to be faith. Or I work hard at my business and I get money, then I'll be happy. That's a faith. Or, you know, whatever it is. So that Krishna gives you the faith in that. But for this, we're talking about the differences is that the faith in yeah, you'd have to say is that there's a lot of faith in pious activities. You know, one feels that piety is extremely important. So therefore, one would tend to use the slower path. Well, if that faith is not so much in the piety as in Krishna, then that would be the quicker. Yeah, so we'll, yeah, you could say, like, from that angle, then you could say, yes, it's faith. You know?
Well, like Arjuna, he was accepting the direct path because he has.
Well, it's not so much direct and indirect. They're both Krishna consciousness. It doesn't matter which is slow and which is fast. The one is more gradual and one is quicker. Because it is devotional service, but it's the emphasis is so much more on these other aspects. You know what I'm saying? So you're having all these. In other words, understand the principle that. It's either there's the aspect of through knowledge, then you'll be able to surrender, or you surrender and then the knowledge will come. That's the principle. Now, whether you're applying it in your life right today and where it's happening, or in someone else who's, you know, kind of more connected with Krishna consciousness but is more engaged in karma and jnana, so that's more prominent, or someone who's just a pious karmi or pious jnani. The principle is the same, that if any of those situations, it's still the association of devotees that's going to make it work. That it will either become devotional or it will progress, or how quickly it will progress, but you still have to take advantage of it. So if there's no interest, then it just remains as the path of karma and jnana. Right? If it's there's an interest, but the interest is more in these other elements, then it'll be slow. And if there's an interest, but that's more prominent, then it'll be fast. It's just a matter of how much surrender you add to this equation is how quickly it moves. So that's why Krishna is recommending surrender. Does that make sense? Right? So there's a principle there, that it works wherever you apply it.
Yes. We could see that very easily in the beginning of the movement when your devotees apply this element of just surrender.
Yeah, so that everything works very, very fast. It means they would be doing, you know, so many amazing things. But at the same time, you see, is then by practice and the knowledge, understanding of that, now they can also do big things. You know what I'm saying? It's just in between the two, it's a little slow. You know what I'm saying?
Means
when the surrender is not so great, then it goes slow, right? But if that practice, so that knowledge and detachment is there, then you can see that no, this is the real thing to do. Then that surrender, and then great things happen again. Does that make sense? Yeah. To surrender to Krishna, even before having realized Him, it is itself the superior path of knowledge. It means you haven't realized Krishna as a person, means that personal interaction, but you've surrendered. So that's considered the superior of the two. Rather than you practice this, you know that's the goal, but you'll surrender once you get to a particular point. Because Krishna is the goal of all cultivation of knowledge. One who simply surrenders to Krishna begins his spiritual life at the point of full knowledge. Right? So he has full knowledge, but it's not that necessarily he has detailed knowledge. But he has the conclusion. So all detailed knowledge is come to the conclusion. If you have the conclusion, it doesn't necessarily mean you have the benefit of all the detailed knowledge, even though you don't have the detailed knowledge. Does that make sense? You know, the man, he had nothing, you know, started out, you know, with nothing, He works his way up. He becomes very wealthy. Then his son is born. His son's rich. He's born rich. Right? So it's just... Does that make sense? You don't have to go through... So he became rich after a lengthy process. The other one is already rich. So if you... because he has the conclusion. The conclusion of business is having lots of money. Right? And so the kid has lots of money. But he may, at that point as a kid, doesn't know how to make that money. But if it's necessary, then he can gain it because he understands the principle. Right? In other words, that person's son, you know, if nature is similar, he will be able to maintain that state of wealthiness or even increase it. While others, then after a whole lifetime, may or may not get to that level. Does that make sense? You know, so the idea is that Krishna consciousness, if you just surrender to Krishna, then all the other elements necessary automatically come. Okay. So that's it. Yeah.
Can you unsurrender?
Can you unsurrender? Why would you ask this question?
Because I'm just thinking, if you just surrender, it would seem that someone could be kind of whimsical and naive and just surrender to whatever. And
but if you use the term whimsical and naive, whimsical means it could be anything, and naive means that there is a proper thing, but you're not necessarily taking it. You know, it's just you have a bad person, but he speaks nice, so then someone who's naive will trust him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So Krishna being the goal of everything, mm-hmm. and being everything also, mm-hmm. you wouldn't use the terms naive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It means it always works. Mm-hmm. Right? Work for Pallad, he's 5 years old, yeah. So why won't it work for us?
I'm just thinking if he's Krishna...
Because what is he naive about? It means is the nature of the soul is to be servant of God. So as far as the soul goes, as far as consciousness goes, now maybe he's not so mature, or he may be naive in understanding the volume, or the depth, or of his material attachments. So therefore, he's involved in more direct devotional activities, but with time he sees the need for including indirect activities in his life. Mm. But that's conditioning. That's social. That's not spiritual. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You can spiritualize it, yeah. But it's not spiritual. So the soul being surrendered to God, that's natural. Mm. That's just the way it works. Mm.
So the risk of someone leaving ISKCON and becoming New Age or something, but while in ISKCON,
yeah,
was very surrendered.
But the surrendered, but the thing is what means the point is New Age simply means following Vedic sciences without understanding his connection to the Vedas or to God. Right? Would that be a clear definition? Okay. So, the point is all those sciences, that there are people who are involved in astrology, or in vegetarian, or in aspects of the Ayurveda, or, you know, whatever it is that you want to get into. I mean, there's people here who, they don't just talk about worshipping ghosts and create a ghostly atmosphere because of the mode of ignorance and the time of the day. They actually are dealing with the ghosts. You know, like that. Does that make sense? You know, it means, whereas now that these tantrics and stuff, they deal directly with them. So, but they're still doing it according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Mm. May not be much Krishna consciousness there, but, you know what I'm saying? So the point is the Krishna consciousness doesn't have to change. To deal with some tarot cards or something. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So, but the point is what changes?
Environment.
Environment? your lifestyle. So if you know what I'm saying, you know, get out the tarot cards. You got to have some of those colorful, yeah, you know, silk claws, you know, somewhere on wrists or around necks or on your head, or you got to put them somewhere. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, extra bangles. You know, all these things. You have to have them. So it's like, what are they changing? They're changing the social. So then there's the amount of that particular individuality, but they don't know how to get that individuality within Krishna consciousness. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Your sari is different from others. It's worn differently. Your jewelry is different from others. You know what I'm saying? The mood is different. You know, all these. There's so many ways to create individuality, because one will say, no, but this is, you know, different. He says, that's a sari. Everyone wears a sari, but I'm doing my own thing. But why is it all the guys with the little crystal balls and the tarot cards, they all dress the same? Otherwise, how do you make a cliche out of it?
Exactly.
Right? Because they all look the same, but they'll know I'm unique because, you know, I got, you know, 3 silver bangles and, you know, a couple of other ones, and I got also an African bangle, you know, hand-carved, you know, African, and none of the other guys have that. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. So all it is that socially it's not necessary. You know, pointing is the the occult elements of the Vedic literature are just there, but they're just part of day-to-day life. They're not something that needs extra attention. You know what I'm saying? So that means it gets extra attention because even though you deal with the science, you're more enamored by the unknown. And the unknown would be which mode?
Ignorance,
yeah. Because passion, you know what you want, and you're working hard for it. Goodness, you know things as they are because you have knowledge. So this element of being attracted to the mystique, the different, the unknown, it sounds like it's something more subtle. Yeah, it's mind, but it's mind in ignorance. You know what I'm saying? So you're changing all these things socially because there's no need to change all that. So all it is that, okay, the brahmachari moves into the temple, rah, rah, and then figures out, okay, there are some desires and all that. So then he decides he gets married. But he can still be just as Krishna conscious. Just he has to deal with all the indirect. So it's not as easy as direct. You know, I mean, on one level. On another level, indirect is more easy for people because there's that element of attachment and all. And direct is harder because, you know, you have to sit there and chant for 2 hours without email, without SMSing, without phone calls, without managing something. You know what I'm saying? That's hard. You know, but you do have it. They do. Like, you have that one king of Jaipur. He was Jaipur. When he sat down to worship his deity, he wouldn't stop it for anything, no matter what was going on. So, because knowing that, his enemies attacked at that time. Right? So you can do a lot in 2 hours, an hour and a half, right? As far as a war goes. So then he's sitting there doing his puja. But he's not going to get up, because God's more important than his kingdom. Right? You know, so he does the full puja. And when he finishes the puja, and then he walks out, then all the citizens, oh great, the Raja, you know, you defended the kingdom, you were so great. And it's kind of like, what do you mean? I was in the room doing puja. Yeah, it does. Does that make sense? So the Lord had arranged. He had gone out on the battlefield. Does that make sense? Yeah, so these kind of things is that it can be done. So it's just a matter of saying, oh, it can't be done. This is just, it's just an excuse. It's just an excuse for one's false ego, so one doesn't feel so bad that one knows it's a lower standard, but one doesn't want to be honest. And even though these are all the people that talk about honesty, all you have to do is honestly say, he says, my conditioning has more attachment than I would really like it to, right? You know, it means any conditioning has more attachment because we'd rather be a pure devotee. But whatever it is, it has. And so it has in these areas that I need to address. But, you know, if I'm really going to be honest, then I'd have to address those in connection with Krishna, because those are only functioning because of their dealing with Krishna. But somehow or another, if you just give up the devotional practice and take up a material practice, you're honest. But the point is you're still dishonest, because that material practice, it's still functioning only because of Krishna. Its results are still Krishna. The experience you get is Krishna. There's nothing that's not Krishna. So it's still dishonest. In fact, it's worse dishonest. Because now, not only do you not know, but you're not even situated properly. While the other one, maybe you didn't know, but you're situated properly. You know? Or if it wasn't the right situation for you to be fully absorbed on a consistent basis, at least you had knowledge. You know what I'm saying? So, does that make sense? So these elements are just there because of false ego. If there's one person like that in a yatra, they get hell. But you get quite a few of them together, then they start their own group, and then they, to make themselves comfortable, they have to talk a lot and bring in as many people as possible so that they don't feel bad that they're actually, you know, doing something second rate. Right? Because they could be doing whatever they're doing connected to Krishna, then it's fine. You know what I'm saying? Then that's first class. But they're attached to second class because they want to be independent and not actually know God so much in everything. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, then you have to, you know, say it's practical or this, or point out all these other special things you can do. You can talk to your dead grandmother and stuff like that. You know, stuff are great. You know, nice.
Probably didn't talk with her while she was alive.
Yeah, that's a good chance. And it's probably, who knows if the grandmother wants to talk. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, if you're a Gandharva someplace, who wants to talk to a human? hello. And if you're a dog, how are you going to talk?
What do you have to say?
You know, guys get out there, they sit there and they go, R. U, F, F. What is grandmother trying to say?
Some code, yeah.
Yeah. So I say like that,
Interesting.
M, O, O. You know what I'm saying? It's like that, Yeah. So it's like... So that's the point, is that all these things, they sound great, but they're not realistic. So that's the thing, is one wants to have faith in something that's not realistic. Because the point is Krishna consciousness is the actual only real thing. So it doesn't matter how you come in contact, even if it's by being naive or this or that, still you came in contact, and that's the real nature of the soul. So it doesn't matter.
In this case, I've noticed that the person ends up like in the middle of nowhere because it's not good enough at the...
How many are good at that? You hear about, the person is the best on the West Coast, like that. Then there's somebody over around New York, like that. And that's about it, like that. And then they have their guru somewhere back in, Romania or something, like that. And, you know what I'm saying? So it's like you get stuck in the middle. So it's just how much time you can do that. And then that didn't work, and then you weren't that good at that, and so then you kind of just stay on the edge. So it's point is take up Krishna consciousness, and then, whatever you can do for Krishna, that's glorious. Because materially, there is a hierarchy. Right? Unless you're the best, it's not that special. You have to be in that level to be... recognize. But below that, who cares? You know what I'm saying? So then, but spiritually, everything, if it's connected to Krishna, then it's perfect. So then it's good. So that's the idea. Quotation for Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, the whole world is confused. They do not know where to repose the love. Right? That they do not know. Therefore, Krishna is canvassing. So it's not a matter of they're naive. No, they're naive in thinking that it's something they can find love somewhere else other than Krishna. Right? It's immature to think it's somewhere else other than Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is canvassing. Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam. Come here, love me. Increase your attachment for me. Everything will be all right. Does that make sense? So, in other words, we're trying to look at everything. Where we get confused is looking at everything within this quicker path. and making these distinctions, but trying to make the distinctions and trying to break this quicker path up into the slower and quicker path. No, it means we're following this quicker path. You know what I'm saying? We're not those great pious living entities who, you know, are fixed in the Vedic processes of karma and jnana, following those lifestyles and, you know, that regulation and guru and all the different things like that. No, we're not exactly in that category. So therefore, we're surrendered to Krishna. That's why we've taken up the process. So we take it that someone's become a serious devotee when they leave the slow path and take up the fast path. Then we'll say, now they've become a devotee. Right? Because otherwise before, you know, they're there, they're chanting and this and that. They come around now and again. We don't really call them devotees. Mm. You know, we'll say they're interested or, you know, depending upon who you are, they call them congregation and like that. You know, you're trying to make it feel good. So the point is it's when they actually surrender and get serious about chanting and serving and all that, then they've taken this Sarvadharma Paritya job. But they don't have much knowledge or anything, so that's what's being said here. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, so they've surrendered to Krishna. They've once surrendered. Right? So just that one surrender puts you on that path. Now they make step, you know, to the side of that. But it's still, if once they get serious again, they'll be on that fast path. Not that now they'll be on the slow. You know what I'm saying? So it's just within the quick path. Now, within that, still these formulas work, but on a smaller. You know, just like you have Sambandha, Abhidaya, and Prayojana. You take one of them, within that you have Sambandha, Abhidaya, and Prayojana. So it's always just where you're applying it. So that's why we have to learn the principles. Otherwise, we'll always get confused with the detail. Right? The principle will always apply, yes.
Maharaj, surrender here is being equal to affection?
Surrender means it's that potential that you want to. I mean, there must be some interest, but it's like how much is there. You know what I'm saying? But the point is surrender means you've committed yourself to that relationship, then that'll naturally develop. Does that make sense?
So it's rather for the commitment, the affection.
Yeah, I mean, surrender means that commitment, like that. So then naturally, then that affection will grow, because it's not that it just comes after a particular point and stops, it's unlimited. So eternally, it gets more and more. Right. You know, so that's it. So Krishna saying, you just do that, everything will be all right. Otherwise, it is simply vague. Shrama eva hi kevalam. Simply a waste of time. Right? So, dharman svanushti tapum sam vishvakshena katasuya. Not para yena ritim yadi shrama eva hi kevalam. It is simply a waste of time. Right? Okay, so now we understand here is that we're taking it within these, but now there's another way we can take it, which is a much broader vision. Prabhupada's talked about it before, and here you see it coming up again, is everybody is actually God-conscious, but they don't know that what they're conscious of is God. Right? So now, those who are following the Vedic path, right, of karma and jnana, according to authority, then there is a connection to the Supreme. So you could also call that karma yoga, jnana yoga. Right? Because there's that element of elevation, because there's more understanding of what's happening there. So in that way, they're suras. You could call them, they're devotees, because there's connection. They're not opposed to the idea that Vishnu is supreme and the demigods and this whole thing, how it works, how the Vedas are describing. But their main interest is simply in the material facilities and enjoyment and everything like that. But they're not opposed to. Does that make sense? So we wouldn't necessarily call them devotees. You know, your older context, we just say it's Vedic culture. Modern context, we call them Hindus. Right? Does that make sense? Right? So it's that because you go to their house, you have a kirtan, they're happy, they'll take prasad, they'll do it all. But then as soon as that's over, then, you know, they got their business, they got their family stuff, kids got to go to school, they have exams next week. You know, you got to go to the Ganesh temple, pray that, you know, they'll, you know, pass the exam. You know, all those different things have to be done. Right? So it goes on. Yeah? Does that make sense? So therefore, that's even taking a broader range. So we're not even taking those who are more and those who are less. We're taking even those who are connected with the Vedic culture and those who are not. Does that make sense? So depending on what the situation. So we will say that is a waste of time, though technically they're suras. They're neophyte devotees. But it's still a waste of time because for the effort that they're putting in, they could be getting so much spiritual benefit. Well, the other way is very, very slow because within that, they're performing these other activities for the material purposes, going to the heavenly planets, this and that. But occasionally, then, they'll worship the Lord or do this and that, take part. So the actual dynamic interactiveness is very less, very slow. Right? Does that make sense? Does this make sense? So this principle is there, is that means you could go through, means in other words, surrendering first, then gathering all the knowledge and detachment required to advance further. But still you surrender first, as opposed to gathering all that knowledge and detachment and then coming to the point of surrender. Does that make sense? You know, because that's what most people follow, right? Means the son, you know, the grandson, they're there at the shop, right? You know, so all the stuff is there and everything's around, they're sitting. Who's sitting in the corner?
The father.
Yeah, the father.
Oh, like that.
Yeah, yeah. And what's he doing?
Watching the son.
Yes. He's watching the son, but in between watching, he's got one eye on the son. What's the other eye on?
On the money.
No, that's the same eye. He's got the eye on the money, but then he's watching how the sun and that are either collecting it or losing it. Where's the other eye on?
On the book.
On the book. He's looking at Bhagavad Gita, he's got his japa there, you know, he's got his little altar scene there, like that. So he's understood all this, that money can only get you so much, so he started to surrender. He has an element of surrender. So he's gone through all this karma yon first, then surrender. Right? But the devotional is surrender first. Does that make sense? Then everything else comes. Right? Because the other one, we would consider it from the quick path a waste of time. Because for the same endeavor, you could be getting the benefit of the quick path. It's just a matter of surrender. It doesn't change the situation. Right? Does that make sense?
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki Jai Nitai Gaura Vrinda.